This podcast is sponsored by RPG Sessions, an online role-playing tool for Genesis and Star Wars campaigns. Learn more about their character sheet, virtual game table, and Discord bot at rpgsessions.com.
D20 Radio, where gamers roll. www.d20radio.com.
Left off with a kobold charging out of the underbrush at and it is at short range. The initiative order is 4 PC slots and NPC slots, the final PC slot, and then all 4 of the rest of the other NPCs that you cannot see yet.
Real quick, we've got Blanche and Maya were near that bush. That shrubbery where that one just popped out from.
They are at short range.
Mm-hmm.
We have where the feast was prepared is where Mac is. I've climbed up to the roof of the inn or the manor house. One of the buildings manor near house. That's essentially right on that square where all the food was prepared.
And Tavrok is a bit to the from where you guys have come from, near the blacksmith.
And the kobolds are spread out all over the place.
Yeah, there's... Oh, who is taking the first slot?
Can I shoot that thing?
Shoot it.
So the one that we know of that hopped out at me, at Lance. Lance kind of takes half a step back, plants his foot, and I'm letting loose an arrow directly at this thing's head. 3 successes, 1 advantage.
3 successes, and so that's 10 damage. Oh boy.
What's the matter?
It's dead now.
Yeah, it's... You're not sure where its skull is anymore. There is a headless kobold falling out of the underbrush.
In the distance, you hear like a clatter and a twang from wherever the arrow struck and the skull fell.
But as that kobold sort of charged out, snarling and yipping, the yipping of more starts up in the woods around you.
Okay. I'm going to use my maneuver to back farther away from that brush line or from where I hear the noise and try to back up against a building, if that's possible.
Okay, so you're going to back away?
Just like back up and try to get a wider view.
Okay.
Because I'm imagining the sounds coming from all around us at this point.
Yeah, it's all around.
So I want to back so that I'm back up against something, basically, and can see in front of me.
All right, so I've got a second PC slot.
Is that kobold still alive?
No.
It's got no head.
And I don't see
it. No, it is.
I just hear him.
Correct. Correct.
All right, I'm going to... Because I know I'm near the tree line. Can I back up and put myself between Lance and the tree line so I'm like slightly ahead of him?
You basically already are.
All right, already am.
Because Lance spent a maneuver to move away.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you think we're about to be in combat, you could use your spell now.
Correct.
And augment yourself
that's
to your ready.
Right, I have that. What is that called? Augment?
Yep.
And how do I use that? Does it cost strain, or do I have to roll for that?
It's casting a spell, so it's 2 strain. And it is going to be a...
It's primal, right?
Yep, average primal check. And you have to concentrate each round, so you have to spend a maneuver to keep it going after the first round. Or after this... Yeah, after the first round.
Okay. And average is 2 purples.
Yep.
All right, so that's 3 successes, 1 advantage. So for anyone that's looking, Maya kind of like steadies herself and straightens herself facing towards the tree lines. And her arms and hands just start to kind of like expand, and the tree bark kind of like almost comes off like little like shields, and vines start to wrap around her now humongous hands.
All right.
And I'm going to wait for these kobolds.
All right. Are you using your maneuvers for anything?
Nope. I'm waiting for...
Are you spending that advantage?
I do have one suggestion. If you don't have an idea for maneuver, you could take a guarded stance. That's a maneuver you can do. So if they come out of the tree line and attack you, you get a black die to their attacks against you.
Okay. Yeah, definitely in a guarded stance then.
Yeah.
And can I do anything? Can I recover strain with that advantage?
As long as you had strain before casting the spell, which looks like you did.
Yeah. Okay.
So Maya takes a guarded stance, and we are on to the next PC slots. Tarvok, Mac, or Ben?
I'll take the next slot. Do I see any of the other kobolds from up on the roof?
Yeah. You don't see any immediately. Well... Yeah, you know what? You kind of see one in the brush. You're going to have 2 setbacks if you attack it.
How far away from me is it?
Medium range.
Well, then I am not attacking it. But I will sort of slide back down to that corner that I climbed up on and try and drop down.
Okay. I'd say dropping down is a maneuver, and then... if you want to drop down again, it'd be another maneuver.
Sure, I'll do that as my maneuver, and the action as a second maneuver. We got trouble boss, couple more coming from that direction. Point where I saw the other one.
You're probably mostly seeing the brush move.
Yeah.
Probably just a little peek of the scales.
Sort of slide along the roof and then just sort of shimmy down.
4th PC slot.
So I want to cast barrier and add an additional target. And if the implement did reduce that spell by 1, I was going to add defense to it.
Okay. I think so right now you are not at engaged range with anybody. You are at medium.
Okay. I thought we were
the closest. It would take two maneuvers to get to engaged range with I'd say at this point with either Maya or Lance.
Okay. Then instead of adding defense, I will add short range to it. So it's a hard. Does the implement reduce the spell?
No. Additional target is not a divine only. Don't forget, you guys have story points.
Oh, yeah, we're full on story points, huh? So, sure, I'll add defense to it. Oh, wait. Never mind. That makes it insanely hard.
Yeah, that'll make it... 4 difficulty check.
I'll
make it short range so that way I can do it this turn, and I'll add additional target So that's 3 difficulty.
Yep.
And I will use a story point to upgrade one. And 2 success, 1 triumph. So I run. Kind of like reach my hands into the sky and start pulling down. And it seems like there's a lot of like tension and resistance as I pull my hands down, and the sky goes black and it begins to rain. And the winds around us pick up very strongly, creating a barrier between us and the kobolds.
So for just for the effects of the spell, because you added an additional target, one additional target is included. You could spend the triumph if you wanted to add an additional target.
Yeah, because I don't know what else I can use the triumph for, so that sounds good. So 3 people in total. So myself and...
Yeah, so you could basically do both Maya and Lance.
Yep, so that sounds good. We'll do that.
So you, the 3 of you, while he is concentrating on the spell, reduce incoming damage by 1.
Technically 2. He had 2 successes.
Yeah. Yep. The wording is that way. Yeah. 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 Yep.
And there's a lot of crack of thunder when that happens.
What, like a wet sort of sea wind sort of swirling around them and yourself?
Yep. You can smell the ocean.
All right. So a kobold bursts out of the underbrush from the same general area as the last one. And what did I say those they were at? Medium. So it bursts out and it begins to charge at Maya, but it is unable to swing this turn. Round of the final. Yeah, it is engaged with Maya. Final PC slot. Mac, what are you doing?
How far away from me is the kobold that just appeared?
Medium. Long range. Long range.
Long range. All right. I will move 1 range band closer, so it is medium range.
Okay.
Does that take 2 maneuvers from long to medium? I think it does.
No, extreme to long.
It's only extreme to
long.
I thought it was both.
I thought it was long to medium and extreme to long both took. Moving from medium range to long range requires 2 maneuvers.
We'll say you were at medium range with it then. Okay. I was thinking it was... I forgot that it was 2 maneuvers for that.
All right. Okay. He is going to reach under his coat and pull that book from out of the sling. Without actually looking into the book or even touching it, he just sort of holds it in his hands. It falls open and the pages flip open to a particular page, and I'm going to cast an attack spell at the creature. I haven't decided what language my magic words are in yet, but whatever language I decide, he basically said what?
Gobbledygook.
No, it's going to be a real language.
I was going to say, the person who set the standard was Piper, and I don't think she spoke anything other than English.
I did not go to Piper's magic school.
It's just all curse words.
So this should just be an average difficulty check, right?
Most of it cursing out this asshole named Martin. I don't know who that is, but...
You're just doing a regular attack spell at...
At medium.
Yep.
It is now engaged with Maya, so you upgrade once.
Correct.
Don't hit me. Oh, jeez.
Right. I can't wait. Okay. Here we go. Whew. 1 success and 2 threats.
Okay, so what's the damage?
All right, so it is 4 damage. So the book flies open. His hand passes over the pages of the book, and you see sort of a ripple in the air around the book, and he utters a word, and the ripples just sort of spread out around him, and for a second, nothing happens. And then a bunch of rocks just, like, kip up off the ground and come flying in at this kobold. And it takes 4 points of damage.
Does the book not add any damage?
No.
Does it not count as a one? Okay.
No, the book counts as a book.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was...
Okay, so as you do so, as you hit that one, and it sort of staggers back a bit, another charges out of the brush and is, like, right next to it. I have spent your threat on adding another one to its minion group.
Oh, no.
But they are both standing. One is not looking very well. All right, so we've got a... And I'm sorry. Are you doing anything else? You could spend some strain to use another maneuver.
Oh, I do need to spend 2 strain. What maneuver did I maneuver?
Well, you mind. You didn't move. Yeah, but you did draw your book. That's true.
Oh yes, unlike, yes I did.
So unlike your previous character, you do not have quick draw.
It's true. It's true. I do not. Okay, that's all.
All right, so we've got an NPC slot.
More kobolds start swarming out of the...
Yeah, 2 kobolds move out of the brush behind Mac and into short range. However, again, they don't have any melee. So that's it. And then another one storms out of the brush near Tarvok and is at short range from Tarvok. So we're at the top of round 2.
So there's one engaged with me?
Correct.
I would like to punch it in the...
Okay.
First thing is spend a maneuver to continue concentration on your spell.
Okay. Right.
The spell lasts until the end of her next turn, so she doesn't have to do it right away, but if you want to keep the spell up, you do have to spend a maneuver on this turn to keep going, to keep it going.
Yeah, I don't plan on moving. And this is my Primal Fury Strikes?
Yep. Yep, everything's already calculated into that.
And then difficulty?
It is going to be average. I'm going to upgrade it. So it's going to be 1 red, 1 purple.
Oh, 3 successes, 1 advantage, and 1 despair.
Bum, 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 bum.
Damage.
But I punch it in the face.
Hell yeah, you do.
Yeah, so you punch the one that Mac had already hit with some magic in the face, and it just crumples. And then with your other hand, you just come around and just clock the other one. And it goes skidding, like 10 feet towards the brush as it goes limp as well. However, this is why I fucking love these things.
Was that actually 3 kobolds in a kobold trench coat?
No, but 3 more kobolds come charging out. Of the underbrush, and they are just kind of at the edge of the underbrush
because the despair.
Yep,
these assholes just let you spend threat and despair to summon more of them.
Yes, that's what's so great about them.
This is incredible. I love that. That's so good. I'm gonna be very upset with you later, Tyler, but right now, this is great.
You had an advantage.
Yep, you have an advantage.
I'll recover another strain. Nothing else I can do with that, right?
You could pass a boost die to the next active character.
Oh. Too late. I took it for myself.
Yeah, that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
We're all pretty much strangers still.
second PC slots.
How far away am I from these things now?
There's one at medium range. I'm going to give it a boost die because they're not quite out of the underbrush yet.
Okay.
I shouldn't say one. There are it is three.
There's a minion group of three that are at the underbrush. Okay. There's two over in the square. And where's the last one?
Short range from Tarvok. Mm-hmm. More kind of behind him.
From where I am, what can I see? Just the ones that are coming out of the underbrush?
You can see the one behind Tarvok as well. Tarvok as well. That okay. one's probably at about long for you.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go for the ones coming out of the brush then. And I have a setback on it. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Cause they're kind of in the, okay. still in the brush.
Some light obscurement from the.
Okay. And I'm going to, why not? I'll spend a story point and upgrade.
Yeah. Spend those story points. I need more despairs.
Oh, sorry. I'm not going to help you out with that one. One success, one advantage, and a triumph. I knock three arrows and I drop three kobolds.
So three kobolds come storming out of the underbrush. And just as they're about to sort of get out from underneath all those branches, just they each sprout an arrow from their forehead. And they all get sort of tangled up in the branches as they go limp.
Good eating.
I'm so sure about that.
Okay, so I had backed up on my previous turn to be up against a building.
Yep.
How high up is the roof of the building? How many maneuvers?
The building you're at now, I'd say, is a single-story building, so... I'd say if you pass an average athletics check,
okay,
that would probably be next.
You
turn
can get up there with the maneuver. I'm willing to let maneuvers like that take go with checks.
Because I'm asking because I have fleet of paw, but fleet of foot, I guess, for lance, so I get. Two maneuvers for free. But if I'm making a check, then that's a different story. I'll make the check if that's what you want me to do. That's fine. Is it athletics or coordination?
Athletics. I'll say this. If you make the check, if you succeed at the check, it only takes one maneuver. But if you fail at the check, it takes both. So you can get up there regardless.
Okay.
It just might be quicker.
All right, and it's what difficulty?
That's unfair.
Yeah, absolutely.
Average,
okay.
Average, yep. Yeah, and I think this should be, well, I think it's a little too high to just straight up jump it.
Right.
So you've got to climb.
Okay. Nope, broke even.
All right, so you start to, so basically what happens is you start to climb with your bow in hand and realize that you've got to stow it to get up, and that's what ends up happening.
Gotcha.
Okay. So you get up. So you stow it, get up there, and
all right,
and take your bow back. We'll let the bow be out again. Okay. And all that. Third PC slot.
I have a question. Seeing as I spent the entire campaign actively avoiding magic, it costs me two strain every time I want to attack something.
Yup.
Right.
That's terrible. Is there a way to make that not?
That's why Doc had 18 strain by the end of that last campaign.
Ugh, this is gross. Okay.
Start taking grit and second wind.
Can I see any more kobolds?
I think two rushed out and are in the square with you.
Yeah, there are two at they're two at short range from you, shouting and waving these crude looking
two individuals or daggers? Is that a minion group?
Two individuals.
I am going to go. I should probably start by saying I'm going to take this initiative slot. I am going to cast an attack spell with the blast quality.
Okay. And this, I am going to upgrade this.
Okay. This time... I am going to remember the things that I spent my experience points on And I'm going to stoop down and actually pick up a rock this time so that I can use my component casting.
Sure.
Magic stone, baby.
You blast a stone at them.
Oh, I forgot I had
Yeah. Basically, I reach down and I, in the casting of the spell, the stone gets crushed, and then we'll see what happens from there.
Okay.
So adding the blast quality, I still need advantage to spend to activate it, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it just gains the blast quality.
And it's 2 advantage to activate the blast quality?
Correct. How many ranks of knowledge do you have?
I have 1 ranks in knowledge.
Okay. Yeah, so it's only going to do 1 plus successes, but yeah.
This says the blast. The blast is based on ranks in knowledge?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. 2 successes, 2 advantage, and a triumph.
All right, so what is it? 5 damage?
That is 3, 4, 5 damage to the primary target. Yep.
2 advantage to trigger the blast that you...
2 advantage to trigger the blast. And so... Okay.
And then you can crit because you have a triumph.
Yep, so I'm going to crit with the triumph on the... Do I have to crit the primary or can I crit the secondary? Does that count as a hit?
I will let you spend your triumph to eliminate both of them. How's that?
That's perfect. So... I reach down, I pick up a good-sized rock, and crush it in my hands, which Mac does not have the physicality to crush a rock. But then you see, again, rippling waves of force and energy as the bits of rock crumble to the ground. And this time, instead of, like, a bunch of little rocks coming up out of the ground, a good-sized rock basically comes sailing from, you know, over yonder. Over there, and just smashes into these 2 kobolds. Probably blowing up in the process.
Yeah, as it hits them, it sort of... It crumples them, hits the ground, and just sort of crumbles into dust.
I should spend my strain.
You want to be on top of that.
Yep.
It sucks when you're 3 rounds deep into a combat and you remember and you're like, oh yeah, I got 6 more strain than I yep. put on you.
And, yeah. That's all I got.
All right. PC slot number 4. There is 1 kobold left at short range from Tarvok.
Turn to a shark and eat him.
It's at short range. He's going to want to move to engaged first, otherwise he's not going to get him.
I'm going to use my signature spell.
Sweet.
And I will gesture one hand, thrusting some of the sea water and wind towards that kobold. And it will begin to drown him as he's struck with lightning.
Okay, so this is going to be an average check.
Oh my god. Really? 2 failures, 4 advantage.
That's a lot of advantage rolled right there.
Yeah.
It dodges the lightning.
Yep.
And... as it's yipping at you, it sort of spits up seawater, but doesn't seem to be affected by it.
Okay, so the...
It doesn't seem like there was enough to...
The advantage only stuns if he's damaged. Is that how that works?
Correct. There are some that can trigger even on a miss, which I think is only blast and things like that.
Oh, okay.
Don't believe stun. I'm double checking here, pulling it up right now. Stun, but it's most likely on a hit. Yeah, it does not say it can be activated on a miss.
Okay. Then I will use some of my advantage to heal strain And the rest, I'll give the next person a blue dice.
So, just as a reminder.
Yep.
I have ruled that you can only spend one advantage to heal a strain.
Per check. Okay.
Per check.
Okay. So I heal one strain. And the next player will get a blue dice.
Okay.
And you've got two left.
Yeah, I think you can give yourself a blue on your next turn if you wanted to.
Yeah, I'll do that. I apparently need it.
Or perform an immediate free maneuver to continue concentration on your...
Oh, yeah, I'm concentrating. So, yeah, I'll do the free maneuver.
There you go.
My God, one of these is going to actually get to swing. This one steps forward into engaged range with Tarvok, and it's got this crude-looking blade that it is jabbing at you with. but it's sort of jabs and catches in your clothes and doesn't really do any damage.
Okay.
The handle is all wet from seawater, so it can't get a good grip to try and get at you.
I suppose all I'll right. move from where I dropped down from the roof towards now Tarvok and his kobold. What range am I after a single movement?
You'd be at short.
All right, I'll spend two strain to draw and throw a dagger.
All right.
And I will spend one to upgrade once. Try and offset the upgrade once from throwing a ranged weapon into
sure.
one success, four advantage. So I'll spend one on... recovering one of the strains and the other three on critting as I just like expertly place, like throw the dagger right into its neck.
Yeah, let's roll the crit, see how this. What a crit result for the.
It's our favorite crit.
No.
At the brink. However, it doesn't really matter because the dagger sinks itself to the hilt. In this thing's neck, the point of the blade sticking out the back as it falls forward. And for the first time in a minute or so, it's quiet.
Ben sort of slowly follows after the path his dagger took to pull it free from the, like, 1 foot on the cobalt to rip the dagger free and wipe it on whatever. Does it even have clothes on?
Nope.
Well, looking around for something to wipe this blood on, yeah.
These things have a gray scaly hide with sort of red tinges on it. They are very small and slight. They're scrawny. They've got, like, no meat to them at all.
Do they have tails?
Yeah.
I pick the one that I punched up by the tail, and then I kind of make, like, a disgusted face, and I fling it in the woods.
From up on the from up on the roof, Lance's head is on a swivel, and I'm trying to sort of ascertain if there's any more movement or anything out there. Do we need a perception check?
Nope. At the current time, you do not see any more movement.
Okay.
It's a cooler discipline at the end of a combat encounter to recover strength.
Yeah, if you guys are going to sit down to do so, yeah.
Do I still get my blue die that I gave myself from advantage?
No, because the combat's over.
Would we have, like, seen these things before? Possibly? Are these, like, a common creature?
I probably would have.
Hey, I've been muted the whole time. I've asked that question three times and been like, aww. Why the hell am I not getting any answers?
Um, Yeah, Lance, you've probably come across them once or twice. Everybody else has surely heard of them. They're far more common.
Aren't they a known thing over in Springfield?
Yeah, they're far more common west of Mendon, but they're not unknown to the general area.
Okay.
I'm definitely walking around, picking these things up by their tails, like flinging them off and like into the woods, out of the town, like doing a cleanup job.
Grab my arrows.
Can you stack them somewhere where they're visible? I kind of want them as evidence so we might get paid.
Benny's got a good point.
Same general area.
That's fine.
As I'm walking towards back towards where the food was to see if there's any sort of napkins or tablecloths or anything like that to wipe the blood off.
How many arrows? There's some tablecloths.
All of them. Maybe one of them broken. We're not tracking arrows.
No, I know. That's what
my brain has stopped working.
Even the broken ones.
I rolled 2 success and 2 advantage. How much strain do I recover? Is that
4?
4.
It's 4? Okay.
Yeah.
How many successes?
2. All successes and advantages recover 1 strain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I may decide to change my mind on the advantages at a future date, but as of right now, I
think this is why no one's around town.
How many people live here, Benny?
Approximately 40.
As I say, I think somewhere between maybe just north of 40.
I mean
less than 50, but more than 40.
Unless there were a whole hell of a lot more of them, I'm not sure that's the reason why they're gone.
I mean, now, I don't see them getting run off, but these things are, I kick one. These things are pretty little. I can't see them actually killing anyone.
Well, I don't see any bodies.
I can't envision them running off the inhabitants of the town either. I mean,
these creatures seem more like scavengers to me.
Maybe they moved in when the town moved out.
I have seen them swarm on the roads, though. To one alone, it could be a problem. But a whole town, I'd imagine not.
I don't know. These things, they got like a mama somewhere that's bigger, maybe?
Let us all pray they don't.
As you guys are talking and moving these things around, it does click a little bit. Somebody at some point probably walked by like a bowl of mashed potatoes, and there's like an indentation of a claw souping.
Yes. Yes. You gave us that one last week.
Yes. And just looking at the claw and looking at what's left there, you're like, oh, that may be what took those out of the bowl.
I don't know that that is the most important clue right now.
Well, I mean, it might be the fact that there's still potatoes left there, which means a more recent development than when the town wandered off.
Yeah. That's the part that's got me really concerned, is that these people just up and wandered away all by themselves.
I mean,
Lance, why don't you give me a average knowledge adventuring check?
Okay.
Is there anywhere more defensible than one of these buildings? I don't know why they would leave.
This place is a sawmill, right? It's not a mine.
It's a single success.
Yeah, logging. And I'm pretty sure sawmills are pretty open design to get trees into them.
Right.
So yeah, what you know about kobolds in the general region, not necessarily west of Mendon.
Right.
If they make it out this far, a lot of times they're scavengers. Their size helps them be a bit sneaky. So they can kind of sneak in and out of areas, stealing what they want, what they might find, you know, aesthetically pleasing, or food that they may catch their eye. You haven't heard much in the way of them attacking on the large scale, but you do know where there's a couple. They're like cockroaches. Where you see a couple, there's probably a bunch more.
It's just as likely that the town was empty before these kobolds arrived and the smell of food drew them in. Fox in a hen house.
Right. So, that leaves us with the following. We've got an entire town of people who just up and wandered off. And did we determine what the potential timeline for that could have been?
Sunday, yesterday at lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was supposed to be a feast at lunchtime yesterday.
And what it's morning. It's morning now, right?
It is just about midday, really, at this point. Right. By the time you guys got into town,
three or four hours after,
had a conversation. Yeah.
Because that's about the time it took for us to get through the swamp to actually get here.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got an entire town up and just wandered off while preparing for a feast day.
And
less than a day later.
Apparently not concerned enough for a head count because they left indicating towards like the blacksmith.
Yeah.
Well, he did indicate he doesn't have family or a best friend. Not surprised he was left behind.
Yeah. In a town of only 40, especially an industrial town like this, a man of his profession is a known quantity.
I mean, he's a blacksmith, so he's probably got some heft to him if it comes to fighting.
Well, I'm not even talking about fighting. This is a,
well, I mean, if there's trouble,
it's a logging town. There's tools.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if there's trouble, someone, you know, swinging a hammer all day is probably good to have.
Yeah, in regards to somebody questioned about the sawmill itself, it is a 15 to 20 minute walk to the north of town. If it was running, you're pretty sure you'd hear it. I mean, Lance, you've probably been here once before, and it was like peak season, and you could hear.
Yeah.
The mill going. It's not a lot. It's not a quiet process.
No, no, you would hear it.
Water driven or what?
You didn't go up there to see it, but there is a river that runs right along the side of the town, so it kind of drains into the swamp, basically.
We thinking they were runoff, or is someone?
No, no. It seems like they just up and wandered away.
I mean, we got some locked doors here. They took the time to lock up their stuff.
Or they didn't. They locked up beforehand and it was just left as was.
I will point out,
to the feast.
You've only actually checked to see about one door.
Was it one or two?
No, we checked the sheriff's door and the general store.
And the, yeah. Yes, and the store. You're right. So those two doors were locked. You have not checked any other doors. There was, in fact, a door that you guys passed through that was open.
Right.
Passed yeah, by the, that was open. The inn was open, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hmm.
But that looks like it was because they were they took all these tables out from there.
I,
Any idea where they left to?
I thought we've determined that they went in the direction of the sawmill.
I wasn't sure if you'd shared that yet or if you were interrupted by Kobold.
Yeah, you had seen that, and then the kobolds happened.
Yeah.
They all seem to have wandered off in the direction of the sawmill.
You know, see if we can catch their trail then?
I think so.
For some reason,
I think
so. Our best bet is to try to find them.
I think so. I think we double back to here. if we need to.
And I draw my other weapon, put the thrown dagger away, and start seeing if I can find signs.
So if you want to track them, you're sort of looking at a survival check.
Sort of defaulting to the standard between me and Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Looks like two of you have survival. I think they're at equal.
I have survival as well.
No, Ben's slightly better. So if the two of you are working together on it, then Ben would make the check at or with the boost die, if that's what you wish to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would be average.
Hey, Rob, what does unwieldy mean on a weapon?
I think it's either you need a dex or brawn of the number.
Agility. Unwieldy is agility. Yep.
Okay. Yes. I can never remember which one's which. I know there's one for each of them.
Yeah. Trying to find it in the rule book, and I keep missing it somehow.
Cumbersome. I can't find it. Cumbersome is you need a brawn equal to that. Unwieldy is you need an agility equal to that.
Okay. All right. Because I put a note.
Yes.
I put a note next to my weapon that says "Never mind," but I don't know what that meant.
It's because you had enough.
Because I covered it, so I don't have to worry about it. Yeah.
It'd be an average survival check. And like I said, you're making this with a boost die because two of you are skilled in it.
I'm going to spend a story point. Why not? Split it a bit more evenly. One success, four advantage.
Okay.
You spent that story point.
So clearly, you know, the story point was the thing that cancels out the failures, and that boost die that you're providing is the actual success.
So, you follow the trail of footprints, and
is it easy enough to find after Mac points it out?
Yeah, it's a lot of footprints. You really can't even fathom a guess as to how many are here, but you do see both adult size footprints and child size. And you are able to follow it over the course of, it takes you about a half hour because you are sort of trying to make sure you're following it correctly. But you arrive at the sawmill, and as expected, the sawmill is empty and shut down currently. But there is a bridge that crosses the river and goes to the east. And it looks like the footprints lead onto the bridge. And there's a little bit of, you know, muddy tracks as they sort of begin to cross the bridge.
Any idea what's on the other side over there? You've delivered here before.
I will say, determine that two of your advantages are spent determining are giving you the extra of they went over the bridge from here. Any ideas as to what the other two might be spent on? Is there any other information that you guys would specifically want to know?
You know what? Is there anything distinctive about Tarvik's lover's boots or shoes that he might ask about, and we can point out that they are in fact with this group?
I was actually thinking about that. They've probably got a
egg leg.
No boots. It's cloven hooves.
Yes. Doesn't have to be footwear.
Well, it has to be something that would be noticeable from the track.
Okay.
They were wearing a banana hammock and dragging their ass the whole way.
There's a slug trail.
I've never heard that before, and I know exactly what you mean by that, and I hate it.
They have a slight drag on their left leg. The accident that we met, like, I met them in a shipwreck, and they never fully healed, so they had a little bit of a drag to their step.
Like a limp?
Yeah.
So possibly due to the fact that the leg is made out of wood now. I got your back.
So, that
they've got a peculiar and particular gait, so maybe if there's tracks that look that way.
Yeah, or does it have to be an item?
No, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. You do indeed note that type of gait in the tracks.
Okay.
So in tracking, I mentioned that one of them looks like they have a limp. They could be injured. And that probably doesn't mean much to the rest of us, but Tarvik clearly takes note of that. I don't know if you say anything or not, but
when he points it out, I'll examine the track. And then I want to use predict. You can't really ask a thing about the past, right? It's the future with predict.
I will say this. It is obviously you are as sure as you want to be that this is their.
Okay.
This is you can tell that this is their gate. You don't need to make another check here.
That was two advantage from the survival.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But like I said, I asked Lance if he knows if there's anything across the river since he's
Yeah. Is that the direction of the like the office for the sawmill and stuff too?
The office for everything is back in town.
Does it operate out of the manor?
It's between there and the general store, all the business is conducted.
Okay.
You have never been this far. When you came, you went to the general store. They had, you know, that was where you were supposed to deliver the order to.
Mm-hmm.
And you pick up anything that's going back out,
right?
From there too.
I haven't actually ventured out this far from town previously. Usually, just go see Jeff at the general store, and that's it. So.
Well, I'm as sure as the ocean is vast that this is Senek's step.
Right.
Definitely the people from the town. Everyone keep your wits about you. So I head towards the bridge to cross it.
I'll follow. I might actually take slight lead in front of Ben as we get onto the bridge.
Okay. You guys are indeed able to follow this trail. The path goes over this bridge, heading east, and basically walks along the south side of the river for a ways. And you get to some of the open fields where they have been actually felling trees. And again, there's no sign of people out here working. There's no tools just laid out on the ground. It seems like they've brought it all, you know, it's all packed up at the end of the day. Anything that, you know, is small and handheld. There's probably a cart or two out here, and a couple logs that are, it looks like they probably float the trees down the river to the sawmill because that's the way the current flows anyway. And then they reclaim them from the river to cut them. But it does not seem like work was taking place when people apparently up and left.
It's very strange.
Do you guys continue to follow this path?
Yeah, the track's still clear.
They are. I mean, you still catch sight of probably it's even easier at this point because you're getting to a point where the road was less traveled to begin with.
Or any signs at all where clearly the tracks we're following as compared to potentially being them going to and from the logging.
Yeah. And it's been gradually narrowing. When you first crossed the bridge, it was wide enough for two carts to pass by each other. And it's slowly sort of narrowed to just being one cart can get by. Eventually to a point where it's just a walking path. And then it even narrows down further to what you think is a game trail. And there's some evidence of, you know, people weren't walking exactly on this game trail. The brush on the side just sort of matted down and broken. But you've been walking for a while and you start to realize it's, you know, the sun's going down. You guys have been following this trail for a good all afternoon.
Now this is just getting a little silly.
Are the tracks still, like, are we still able to follow the tracks, or?
It's getting harder as night comes. If you so wish, you can light torches and continue on.
I have a lantern. But I'll light that.
I'll light myself a torch.
Okay.
The deeper we go into the woods at night, it probably goes without saying, but the more dangerous things will become. There are things out here and people who won't welcome us.
I mean, doesn't look like they camped at all, and pretty sure they left around the same time yesterday as we exited the town.
Lance, as you say that, the trail has turned, or the river has, you know, left the side of the trail at this point. It did so a while back, really. And off to the north, you guys are heading mostly east on this trail. But off to the north, it's hard to tell exactly how far. Two floating, soft, bluish lights sort of fade into being and just sort of slowly meander their way west-ish. It's hard to tell if they're getting any closer as they travel, but they're definitely these lights sort of slowly bobbing along.
That don't appear to be any natural light I've ever seen.
No.
Not natural.
As you speak, the lights wink out.
Nope, don't.
I don't plan on following those. Someone saying something about.
Does it look like they were snuffed out, or do they just like fade out?
They just they shut off, for lack of a better term. They were Lance pointed them out to you guys, and they just kind of whoop are no longer there.
How far approximately are we from the river at this point? Can we hear it still?
If you pause for a moment and really focus, you can just kind of hear the rushing water. You guys passed a clearing back probably 15 minutes ago, where there was enough space where if you guys wanted to, you could you know, if you guys wanted to bed down out here for the night, you might be able to.
Yeah, Maya starts to turn back and she's like, nope, I'm done with this. I'm done with the darkness, done with the creepy lights. We're going to go camp down somewhere. We're going to protect each other while we sleep, and we're going to pick this back up in the morning.
I'm going to use predict, and I'm going to I'm trying to figure out if we take the time to rest, if it would result in any suffering for Senek.
You're just doing a base predict spell?
Yeah.
You ask one question about events in the next 24 hours.
I think I'm actually going to add additional questions to it. Well, I'm just debating on the additional questions. Let's see. Divine. You know what? I will. I'll do additional questions, so it's going to be 3 purple. I'm going to use a implement, like a material component. And I will spend a story point.
What is the material component you're using?
It's going to be a torn piece off of a map.
I was going to say, is it something that belongs to Senek the True?
Not that belonged to Senek, but it was a map that we followed one summer together. And 3 successes. No advantage, so no additional questions, right?
But you get 1 additional question, so you get 2 okay. answers. Adding that effect always allows you to ask an extra.
Okay.
You can spend advantage for more.
Gotcha.
So what are your questions?
So we'll resolve the original question. Will taking the time to rest result in suffering for Senek?
I think this is sort of a wheel and woe. As in...
Like it's unclear?
Yeah. It's almost as if it's out of the hands of... It's up to them, basically.
Okay.
It's a very sort of dependent, you know.
Well, that at least kind of tells me that they're not on like a hangman's schedule.
Sure.
That
is one way to interpret it.
Yeah. That's I'm a glass half full kind of guy.
It means that Senek has some agency in how much danger they're in.
Right. And the other question is, are they in fear for their life over the next 24 hours at any point?
Yes. And I think that manifests for you as a deep-seated primal fear.
So when I do that, I kind of kneel to the ground and I place my hands on the floor, and where there was dirt, kind of a puddle appears, and I'm gazing into the puddle. No one else sees anything, but that's how I get my answers when I use predict.
Yeah, so you don't see anything. Like I said, it just comes back as this primal fear.
I just wanted to clarify, in the pool of water, I don't want to actually see the future, but I depict like shadows, almost like you would see the shadow of a fish swimming.
And as that fear begins to overwhelm you, I'm spending a story point. And there is a flare of light right next to you, as this globe of pale green energy almost like explodes into existence. And I would like you all to roll initiative. So here's how the battlefield is going to be laid out. Karvok is crouched down. Directly in front of him is this brilliant light that has flared out. Everybody else is at short range. The initiative order is all the PCs, then this thing. I am going to rule them for the first round of combat. Everybody is taking. Everybody is going to be dealing with two setback dice on all their checks, as this thing is giving off so much light at this second. So, who would like to take the first PC slot?
Anybody have any objections?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to use a maneuver to get to medium range from it. And then draw my bow, but that's going to take a maneuver as well, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Which doesn't cost you strain because of your archetype?
Well, yeah, my archetype gives me two movement maneuvers. Specifically calls for movement maneuvers. So if I'm doing something that's not movement related, I think that cost me, but I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, you're moving your arms.
Fleet of paw, which is what it's based on, can perform a second maneuver without suffering to move without suffering strain. Right. So, if you do it in that order, yes, you're going to suffer the strain. However, you know your own capabilities, so you likely draw and then
the bow and back up. Okay. All right, draw the bow, go back, and I'm going to fire an arrow at this thing.
Okay.
You're not cheating, you're just cheesing.
That's fine. I'm all about the cheese.
So it is there. You're at medium range, mm-hmm. and you're adding two setback dice on top of its defense.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to spend a story point to upgrade once, and I'm probably going to shout, "Look out!" as I fire.
You can all see it.
Oh. One success and two triumphs. Jesus.
Holy shit.
That's a story point well spent.
Indeed. Yeah. Oh, so the successes from a triumph can be canceled out by failures.
Yes. The triumph itself
remains. Yep.
I just don't know that I ever realized that.
So what are you spending your triumphs on?
I'll spend one to crit it.
Okay.
You could double crit and add 10.
Yeah, I suppose so. I have nothing else to spend a triumph on.
Well, I mean, you could upgrade the ability, give someone a free upgrade on.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, I'll crit it once and I'll pass a free upgrade to, is it just to whoever's next?
Or do I target a specific person? You pick a person and give them an upgrade.
Yeah, I think so. I think you pick.
Including yourself, if you wanted. You can save it for next round.
No, I'm going to give it to Tarvok, because he's the closest to the fray.
You could also upgrade the difficulty of its next check.
No, I'll give an upgrade to Tarvok. And then I'll crit.
Headringer, the target increases the difficulty of all intellect and cunning checks by one, and so this critical injury is healed. So, you scramble back and in one smooth motion sort of draw your bow or pull an arrow from a quiver, mm-hmm. knock it, draw the bow, and release. And it goes flying through this mode of light, seems to be slowed as it pushes through and like the light sort of is disrupted a little bit as does so. Almost looks like at this point there's like a skull inside of it spinning. Like it's like you set the skull spinning.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? I don't think you have anything else
That's okay. It.
All right. On to another PC slot.
I'll go and I will use my signature spell to blast the one Corey just hit.
Yep. Yep. So select it. Make sure you click medium range signature spell. Then click the past dice thing.
Yep, and two black, right?
Yes.
So three black total.
Yep. I'm going to spend a point to upgrade the difficulty on this as well.
Okay.
So change one of the purples to a red.
Yep. Done. I will use my maneuver to pull a seashell out and give myself a boost.
Oh.
Oh my god.
Oh.
One failure, one advantage.
It's all that bright light, clearly.
Yeah.
This cloud forms above it, and the lightning strikes the ground between you and it instead of actually connecting with this entity.
I guess I'll use the advantage to heal one of my past strain.
Okay. I was going to say you had strain prior.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the predict spell.
Okay. On to a third PC slot.
If no one's jumping, I suppose I'll swing.
Yeah, go for it.
A weapon at it. I've got a sword at the ready. I'll engage with it. Sort of some maneuver too close to engaged. I'll take two strain to aim as a second maneuver and attack it. One failure, three advantage.
It sort of bobs out of the way as you jab.
We are gonna die.
That's fine.
What are you spending your advantage on?
Sort of placing myself well against it. I'm gonna gain a melee defense with my three advantage. Sort of position myself well with the sword and the torch between me and it.
Sure. PC slot number four.
Can I punch it?
Hell yeah.
Is it a punchable thing?
Yep.
There's a skull in there.
You need to spend a maneuver to be engaged with it.
Yeah, I'm gonna just run up and hit it with my fist.
Ooh, you have a thing for that, don't you? What does Bull Rush do?
Well, it depends how many advantages I get.
Okay.
So that's an unarmed strike. What's my difficulty?
Average. If you select a target and select engaged range, it should add the difficulty.
Oh, really? That's the thing that it can...
Yeah, click the little gun on the right-hand side for the weapon tab. Yeah.
Okay, and then select
your target, the range, and your weapon.
And then you're adding two setback.
Sponsored by RPGsessions.com.
Add dice. Oh, it automatically adds a setback.
For the melee defense.
It adds one setback because it has a defense, yep.
Oh, but I'm adding an extra one?
You add two more.
You're adding two extra.
Wow, so three total? Okay.
As it appeared in a super bright, blinding flash of light.
I just run straight into the sun. And I'm going to upgrade. So I'm going to use a story point there.
All right. you know, spend a story point to upgrade, so replace one of your greens with a yellow.
Alrighty. See how sure-footed I am. One success, one threat, and a triumph. Made up for that despair I got last time.
The universe is in balance.
As you punch this thing and connect with it, it shocks you slightly, so you're going to take a strain.
Ooh.
And what are you spending your triumph on?
Ooh.
I think you can use that for your thing if you want to.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot. Can this target be prone?
Maybe you can't on this particular thing.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Can you be prone if you have floating. No legs?
It's
plus your
yes.
You could just crit it.
Yeah, you could just hit it with a crit.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it is not going to take any penalties on.
Yeah, you can't make it prone. But you could crit it with a trip.
I'll crit it then. Crit it good.
Sudden jolt.
Ooh.
You only rolled a 5 on that. Target drops whatever is in its hand, so it doesn't have a whole lot of effect, but it is another crit on it.
Great.
Well, as I said, as you punch it, you get a little bit of a jolt.
Ah.
But it's almost as if, as you're punching, the hit is almost being slowed down by force, and the hit does not land as heavily as you expected it to.
Ooh. Okay.
Final PC slot. Mac.
Who is engaged with the floating orb?
Maya and Tarvok.
And Ben.
Oh, yeah, Ben is too.
And Ben. Right. Oh, all right. All right. I am going to... If I step up to be engaged with them, I am also engaged with the ball of light, correct?
Yes.
Fuck it. All right, I step up to engaged.
That's the attitude.
I am going to cast barrier with additional target and defense. Why not?
That's a daunting check.
It is a daunting check. I've got the calculator open. So that and that and that. I am going to think of some appropriate... Oh, I am going to pull a walnut out of my coat pocket and use that as a component.
Okay.
You're writing these down so you can remember them for later?
No. Why the hell would I do that?
I got them so far. A rock Perfect. And a nut.
Well, rocks are easy. Rocks are everywhere.
Somehow, Mac has just a pocket full of walnut shells.
Uh-huh.
No, next time it's going to be an almond shell and maybe a pistachio after that.
Ugh, I hate pistachios.
Pistachios
are delicious. It makes perfect sense. If you read the Dresden Files, he's always like, oh, I've got all this random bullshit in my pockets. That's why you wear a coat with big pockets.
When you're a sawmill, you can get sawdust. That has lots of good uses.
All right. I'm looking at all these dice. And it doesn't feel great, but
nothing to do but hit that roll button.
Let's spend an upgrade. All right, here we go, folks. I am targeting Maya I'm targeting Maya and Tarvok. Because additional target gives you one for free if you make the check.
Yep.
One success and three threats.
Nice.
Excellent. Maya and Tarvat.
Ooh, you can have it affect the Will-O-Wisp as well.
I think that is a poor idea.
That's nice. It's my decision.
A bunch of kobolds emerge from the woods.
No, I want kobolds. I'll take kobolds.
The spell does not initially take effect.
I sort of watch the walnut shell disintegrate into these little motes of light that sort of fly off towards Tarvok and Maya, and I frown.
In addition, you suffer two strain or a wound.
Ow, my brain meats. Two strain or one wound?
Ugh. Magic's dangerous.
Magic is so dangerous. Why?
You're going to be like me and you're going to take those wounds every time.
I would like my gun back, please. Yeah, I'm going to take a wound.
As the shell of the walnut, before it disappears into the casting, it sort of digs into your hand for a second.
Oh, come on, that's not cool. My ears just start bleeding.
I said, no, it starts heating up as it turns to the motes of light, and it's like the motes are very slow because of the glow from the Will-O-Wisp. And it's just moving very slowly as it heats up in your hand.
Sure. But yeah, it has not taken effect yet.
As you're watching those defensive motes just slowly inch along towards their targets.
What are you doing, Magic? What are you doing?
That's
it is going to
be bright lights. You're supposed to be over there protecting them.
It is going to attack Tarvok. As Tarvok, typically when you cast these sort of divinations, if you get a sensation like fear or something, it fades as the spell completes.
Okay.
But that fear still, it's almost like this thing is sustaining it and drawing it from you. As it does so, a pale green bolt of energy snaps out of it and hits you for 7 points of damage.
Ow.
Almost like a static, like a hard static shock. And with its advantage, it's going to add a boost die to its next check. It is the start of the next round. That barrier that has been slowly forming from max spell completes.
All right. You are both enveloped in sort of this intangible blue field that shimmers into transparency around you.
All right. So who's taking
shield bubble?
They reduce damage by one and they also gain a defense.
Yep.
Of one.
You reduce damage by one and you each get defense one.
Now, Jay, just in case you didn't know this, if you click that concentrate button, it puts it down below so you can calculate another spell and still have the information.
I did not know that. Thank you.
I've got a question. Mm-hmm. If everybody is now engaged with this thing except for me, what does that do to my difficulty to shoot it with an arrow?
It's upgraded once.
Still just upgraded once.
Just once, even though everybody's there?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
I mean, he might say there's too many people crowded around, maybe give you a setback if he wants to.
This is why I'm asking the question.
No, but the the light has subsided a bit, but you're still taking one extra setback.
Okay. Can I shoot at it? Does anybody have something else they want to do? I'll take that as a no. I'm going to shoot at it.
There's enough of open space that you're able to shoot through the gap a little bit.
Okay. Add that. Upgrade and a setback.
Remember that as a maneuver, you can aim if you want to add a blue die, if you're not doing anything else with...
Yeah, so I kind of square my shot, aiming for where I saw that spinning skull before, and let loose another arrow. Oh, one success, one advantage. So that's 8 damage.
What you doing with that?
I'm thinking. I don't have any strain. Can I pass a boost to the next person? With
yes.
One?
Yes. Yeah, that is a valid application of one advantage.
Floating boost goes to whoever goes next.
Again, you really notice it this time as you loose an arrow into it. It doesn't seem to take as much damage as you would have expected. Mm-hmm. It seems like the arrow is mostly just passing through this thing.
Okay. I don't think my arrows are going to do it.
Anyone in a rush to
attack? Not by themselves, anyway.
Or can I jump in?
Do it up.
One additional black, blue for the next. I'm going to gain 2 more strain to aim twice.
Okay.
Sort of take stance and open myself up a little more since it's clearly not attacking me.
Oh, so much advantage.
Like, no success, it's like the 7 advantage.
It's like the early days.
It is the early days.
No, from the before time, the long, long ago.
So what are you spending those advantage on?
A little house.
I'm going to recover a strain. I'm going to pass a boost die to the next person to go. I'm going to... pass a boost die specifically to Mac. That leaves me with 3.
You could negate its defense?
Yeah.
Which would negate it for everybody.
I'll do that.
Next PC.
I'm gonna punch it again. Because
you don't
know how to do. Well, that's at engaged with you. Still just the one setback, or am I adding more?
Just the one.
Just the one.
Oh, actually, don't add any because it's negating one of the. All right, one of them.
I didn't add any. I just clicked the Will-O-Wisp and engaged, and I've got one setback die right now.
And you get 1 blue die from I passed a boost to the next person.
Okay. One success and 2 advantage.
Okay, what are you spending your advantage on?
Can I pass a boost die and recover strain?
You can give a boost out of the next character.
The next person.
And recover a strain.
All right, that's what I will do.
As you come around with your right hand and sort of hit this skull that you can just kind of make out in it now, and it sort of bobbles around a bit.
Does it still feel like I'm not... getting
it feels like your blows are being deadened as you hit it, like, you know, if you were to have punched just some, you know, even if you were like to punch a tree, you know, you feel like your blow would have had more impact.
I am going to attack it with deadly. I am going to.
You're currently at engaged ranged with it.
Yes.
Should make this a hard check.
Yep.
And you're getting two blue dice, one from me and one from.
Correct. And then I
only
will
be a single black die, not two.
Yep. I will I will remove a God, this is hard. This component casting shit is hard. Trying to think up things.
You don't always have to do it.
I know, but I want boost dice because I'm gonna do a thing. Critical. I'll remove a sewing needle from my pocket. All right, here comes the fun part. I'm going to spend a story point, Tyler, and I'm going to activate two clever by half and double the number of boost dice that are in my pool.
Okay. And if you fail
if
this...
If I fail this, I suffer six strain. Yeah.
This is fun.
Oh, this is super fun. Could you imagine if Jack had had this? All right. Here we go. Yeah! Two successes, one advantage, and a triumph.
What is it? Five damage?
It is five damage. Okay. And because I put deadly on that, even though I didn't get the I didn't get enough advantage to crit, I'm going to crit with the triumph. So and it's vicious. It's vicious one.
You know what's funny is you used your talent, right? And you doubled your blue dice. And you got three blue dice
three
with results. And three blanks.
Loses their free maneuver. So as you begin to cast the spell, the needle begins to float up. And as you complete the spell, it zips out of your hands. And straight puncturing what appears to be bone and blows out the other side. That seemed to do a lot of damage to it, more so than physical attacks have so far.
Nice.
How are you spending your advantage?
Oh, I'm going to recover strain.
Okay. Final PC slot. Tarvok, Jordan, you're back just in time.
One quick thing of note before we actually do move on. You didn't spend a maneuver? Or...
Oh, me? I'm sorry. I concentrate.
Oh.
Okay.
Sorry. I've got it toggled on, so like obviously I'm just going to do it till I remember to turn it off, obviously. God, spellcasters are so hard!
I'm going to use my signature spell again on the wisp.
Okay. Alright, so something we forgot the last time you attacked it. It is engaged with others of your allies, so you're upgrading this. I'm also going to spend a point to upgrade it, so you're going to upgrade twice.
Ugh. What is your signature spell?
It's a divine spell with lightning.
Is it holy lightning?
Yep,
it's an attack spell with lightning.
Yeah.
Cool.
You can increase the difficulty by one if you so wish to auto fire.
Yeah, because I want to make it harder.
I mean, it's only been upgraded twice. Why not three times?
Yeah.
Well, the third one's coming
up. Add another purple die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
rolling more dice is always better, right?
I'd rather turn a purple into a red than roll an extra purple.
Math agrees with
you. Too.
Yes.
Nice.
So two success, two advantage.
Blasty, blasty.
I pull out another shell as a material component and blast this thingy. It does not seem to drown.
How are you spending your advantage?
To stun.
Which essentially just does another damage.
Oh, can it not be stunned?
Stun, I think, is essentially just strain.
It's strain damage. Disorient is the...
Oh, gotcha.
Specifically not damage, because it's not affected by soak. It's just straight strain.
Yeah, it's stun damage, like you're trying to knock it out instead of kill. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, it's the curse with paralyze is the one you want, Jordan.
Oh.
Your lightning blast strikes it, and fractures begin forming in this skull that you see within the glowing orb. But it's just kind of holding together as its turn comes along. It is going to attack Tarvok. I am going to spend a point to upgrade.
Tarvok currently has defense.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So you take 7 damage.
6
That's
damage.
1 success. One success, yeah. 1 advantage, and 1 triumph.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so you... the barrier reduces that by 1.
Yep.
So you take a total of 6 damage and then apply soak.
So is it going to crit or is it going to stun for 4? It's got a tough choice.
It's going to crit. So you're going to roll a crit at plus 10. So if you click the dice... And then click the 10, and then roll crit for this PC.
Oof.
Ooh.
It's a nasty
scattered
one.
Senses.
Oofa doofa.
It's sort of.
Max, better you than me.
Yep.
Catches the bolt catches you like right on the side of the head, and it you see scars for a second. And we're around to the top of round 3. With this thing barely holding together.
If no one's going to jump, I'll take one last swing on it. Maybe pass
you
some.
You want to take a swing? Yeah. Take a swing, take a swing. Go for it.
I'm just going to get a ton of advantage that you can use to.
I'll fire at it next.
At this point, no black dice.
Yeah, it is dimmed. Enough that it, there's no black dice. It's shedding light as like a torch at this point.
I'm going to, sort of aim twice and suffer some strain to.
Oh my gosh.
No!
How do you do that?
No successes, 5 advantage.
Oh my goodness.
As your sword again just kind of like pokes through it.
I'm going to pass a blue die specifically to Lance, who seems to be effective at hitting it. Maybe not quite as damaging as Mac has been, but sort of trying
reliably hitting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Try to open it up with arrows.
Okay.
Leaves me with 3 to do something with. I'll, I don't think it's going to last enough time to get there, but I'll add a black to it and heal 1 strain for myself. And that's going to be it for my...
All right, I'm going to... I'm going to spend my maneuver to aim and knock an arrow.
You don't have any strain. You could double aim and take some strain, but you will heal once this is over.
Yeah, might eventually. As well. Double aim and... Why not? I'll spend a story point and upgrade it once. 5 successes and 3 advantage.
Nice.
Nice. You can crit with that.
Yeah. So that's 12 damage and a crit.
Okay. Compromised. It does ultimately, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I was just kind of rolling to see if it would provide a narrative sort of description. Your arrow pierces through what remains of this skull that's being held together, and the whole thing just evaporates. The area around you is consumed by darkness, as you hadn't realized it, but torches seem to have winked out when this thing popped into view.
So the arrow hits it and it kind of explodes and just goes out, and now we're in pitch black.
Yep.
Or, yeah, because we're probably under tree cover too. Awesome.
What Comes After is a Genesis Actual Play podcast presented by Tabletop Tales in a custom setting created by me, your host and game master, Tyler O'Neill. It uses a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system created by Edge Studio and pulls content and features from the campaign settings Realms of Terranoth and Keyforge Secrets of the Crucible, also published by Edge Studios. Follow us on Twitter at whatcomesafter_, find us on Facebook by searching Tabletop Tales, and be sure to leave a rating or review on the podcast app of your choice. It really helps us get noticed.
Oh, the taco was such a bad idea.
So I was wearing my headphones, but was not at the computer and was muted when Jordan's voice just came out of the ether going, "Oh, I shouldn't have eaten that taco." And that was it. So that's gonna be our after credits clip for this episode. Just making sure Tyler's aware of that.